blessing, help. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I see better without them stupid things. His unhappy situation was caused by wicked men who had hated him because he was godly. In Psalm 119, we see the psalmist wrestling with this problem of adverse circumstances. And I don't know about you, but I certainly have enough of my own. In this part of the psalm, he grapples like a wrestler would against the problems. And he notes, verse 49, "Remember the words of thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Hope has to do with the future. It looks forward to something. Hope allies itself with many times our emotion. Hope is only as good as the promise to which it is related. It is often frustrated and dashed because of unreliable nature of the object to which it looks to. There's a lot of people get frustrated. They get married and they think this is, you know, they're going to live a happier ever after, you know. And they should. But unfortunately, it takes two. It doesn't take one. You can't just expect one to be doing the loving and one to be doing the cleaning and one to be doing the picking up and one to, boy, I'll tell you what, I got a good dose of it today. My mama used to say, and I never could get it, she said, "Boy, it just seems like I get up in the morning and start doing, I start cooking and making breakfast, and then I have to do dishes, and before I turn around and do dishes, I'm cleaning up and making dinner, and before I make dinner, I'm cleaning up, and I got supper to do, and before I got supper to do, I got to clean up, and boy, and it just seems like I just get up and got to go fix stuff again." That's the way it is, isn't it? That's the way we are. Sometimes if there's no time, you can just stop. You just got to keep going and going and going and going and going. That's why God makes mamas young. It'd kill us old people to have a little rascal like that running around chasing after it. It takes me about 3 hours to clean my house and 5 minutes for a little ankle biter to come in and tear the place apart. 5 minutes, 5 seconds, amen. Often frustrated and dashed because of the unreliable nature of the object of which we look at. Boy, we just think everything is supposed to be peaches and cream. Irma Bombeck wrote a book, "If Life is Such a Bowl of Cherries." But she said no, and she said, "If life is such the only green is under the above the septic tank, you know." That was an idea she had. And so many times we look at things that are happening in our lives and we are literally destroyed by it. I know people are literally destroyed by things that happen in their life. And, you know, and I read the scriptures and God said, "These things I am doing for you to build you up, to strengthen you, to make you strong." And I'm going, good night. You know, we see our battles of life that come at to us, storms of life. Man, how about living up in New York and Michigan? 5 foot of snow. Unbelievable. You know. But last week it wasn't so good here either. 19 below, 17 below, 18 below, you know. It's amazing. And everybody's tickled today at 30. We're so happy. What did it do to us? If we would have had nice weather like we did all till Halloween night, and then 30 came to us, and a little snow, there would be so many people griping, complaining, you couldn't stand it. Everybody moving back to Texas. Well, let me tell you something. It was warmer here than it was in Texas. Everybody moving back south. Don't you talk to them boys down south. They're freezing to death. 24 degrees, Atlanta. I think it was Atlanta, 24 degrees. Brother, that's cold.
They got thin, thin, thin skin and thin blood down there, amen.
As a result, we tend to see hope as rather a weak quality many times. For instance, when we're out souling and ask somebody, are you saved? What's a normal answer? Well, I hope so. I hope so. For the most important part, we feel very unsatisfied with our answer to us. And then that puts us to the next step, amen. Well, if you give me about 2 or 3 minutes, can I show you what the Bible says about how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? And for the most part, most people say, well, go ahead, yeah, sure. Hope, however, does have a stronger side. When we hope in God's Word, we can be sure that our hope is well placed. The future is bright. In this psalm, we see the psalmist's hope to have been raised to the promises and the principles and precepts of the Word of God and met with the definite need of his life. I've got the answer. I love that song. I've got the answer. I learned to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a blank check from heaven, from the bank of heaven, that payment any time that you like. The psalmist represented one of those checks now. He wants his hope to be confirmed. The psalmist recognizes God's word was, verse 50, now look at here, this is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me, or literally, kept me alive. Aren't you? Boy, I don't know about you, but hey, this thing going on at the hospital right now just drives me crazy. I don't know anything you can do about it. You can sit up there, you can be with them, but it's in God's hand. It frustrates us because we are control freaks. And we like to rip off some nurse's head or some doctor's head. What do you mean? You know? It's like, I flew in an airport in Tennessee. Flew into Nashville. And the weather is bad up in Minneapolis. And people were just going crazy. And the lady says, I am sorry, but we are not going to put that aircraft in the air. And people went nuts. And I was the next line. I just stood there. I said, ma'am, I said, I'm glad. I'm glad you know that those guys know what they're doing. And I want you to know, I will stand here as long as you want to keep them other people from yelling at you. She says, okay, here's a $50 voucher for this. Here's some extra miles. And we just had a good time there. And everybody behind us just going crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do nothing about it. It is what it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I know I preach that all the time, but boy, I wish we'd get a hold of it. The hope that we have is in God. This world is not our own. We're just passing through. This is not where we're living forever. You know, we get so frustrated with things that happen. Oh, my goodness, my turkey burned. Or, this is the worst one. Oh, my goodness, my turkey is not done. That's bad. I was at a family. We came over there just having a good time. And she noticed the turkey was not, she wanted to smell it as much as she was and come find out the element in her oven broke, you know. How many of you ever had that happen? I hope it doesn't happen to you on Thanksgiving night, day. Oh, life was terrible. No, it's not. We're going to be okay. For most of us, we can hibernate for about 40 days. We don't want to, though. We don't know what had afflicted this psalmist. Perhaps he was sick. You know, people back in those days got sick. That's why the average lifespan, about 40 years. They got sick. Maybe his wife was sick. Maybe his child was sick. Read the scriptures and Jesus wrote about all these children who were sick and they brought them to Jesus. Perhaps he had suffered
a severe financial reverse. We don't know that. Maybe he's out of work. I remember, was it last year when our guys in the Air Force? Oh, my goodness. The guys that were not, they were working for the Air Force. They were not in the Air Force. What do you call it? Civilian, contract, whatever. I see him coming to this church and said, "Preacher, we don't know if we're going to go to work or not." And I remember a couple of days they didn't go to work. And I know some families just buying new homes. And just had bought a new car, bought a new pickup. Boy, I'll tell you what, they're shook to their, they're shaking. And ladies and gentlemen, they had every right to shake. This is why the psalmist said, I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going through some pretty rough times. Perhaps people were telling lies about him. Perhaps his wife had died. Whatever it was, something had gone wrong in his life, and the kind of thing that upsets us upset them too. Maybe his wife left him. Maybe this child was not living up to the laws of the commandments. There's nothing harder in this world to see children go away from God. Facing affliction, the psalmist turned to the scriptures. Listen to me. Facing affliction, the psalmist turned to the scriptures. And affliction should drive us to the Bible. With many people, that is about the last place that they go in their trouble. They rush off to some specialist, to a doctor if they're ill, the lawyer if they're being attacked, job placement people if they're out of work, which, of course, makes some sense. And by the way, Bible never influences against common sense. But the first place to go is to the book, as did the sensible psalmist. He rushed to the Bible. He rushed to the Torah. As a result, his gloom lifted and God was still on the throne. There's a true story told by John Phillips. He said, there was a time when our youngest son was in rebellion. This is a preacher talking now, okay? We were in despair to know what to do. The Bible was a great solace to us in those days. There came a time when my wife determined that she'd avoid the usual distractions, the telephone, the TV set, getting out of the house, going places. She just shut herself up with the Lord until she received some assurance that all would be well and the boy would be saved. And our children made to walk in God's ways. She turned to Isaiah and found many verses that brought fresh hope to her in her new life. One of them was particular was, and if I was you, I'd put this in your book, Bible, back of your Bible, Isaiah 54:13. Isaiah 54:13. Listen to what it says. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and shall be the peace, and great peace shall be. And great shall be the peace of thy children. She underlined that in her Bible. She shared it with everyone. Preacher said, sure enough, in time God saved our son. And he even worked it out so that he went to a Christian university for his education. The last thing on earth that that boy had ever considered going in his wayward days. One by one, the Lord brought our other children to himself, graciously fulfilling his promise. There's some of you that sit in this auditorium. You were rascals when you were growing up. You caused a lot of sleepless nights for your mama. And you're looking at one of them. There's hope. I'd sneak in the house late at night. I hear my daddy snoring, but I hear my mama on her knees praying, begging God for a wayward son. Somehow I just wanted to play football in college, went to this Christian college, and got on to the preaching and got right with God and all of a sudden married a beautiful little preacher's daughter. And my, oh, my, oh, my, I found out the life of living for God was a lot better than living for the devil. God's Word comforts us. It keeps us going, and time is so hard. Thus it was for the psalmist. Thus it was for our family. Thus it was, can be for us. God's Word brings life when we are injured. The psalmist recognized also the Word of God was, look at verse 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, and yet I have not declined from thy law. The word derision is a noun. It means contemptuous. It means ridicule. It means mockery. I want you to think a couple things. Into the grand and gilded court of Pharaoh, there once came a shepherd from the desert. He knew those courts well. He was reared in them years ago. Though it was doubtful that this Pharaoh knew who he was. He saw, all that Pharaoh saw was a shepherd, and the Pharaoh was on his throne. Had not the slightest interest in the shepherds. In fact, the Egyptians hated sheep. They felt that the people were very low that took care of sheep. His eyes looked on disfavor. Then came the fellow unbeliever, impudent to man, and a message from some tribal deity, the deity of Pharaoh's Hebrew slaves, no less. Some kind of god they had, one that allowed their devotees to live in slavery and squander. Look, let my people go. What was that? How ridiculous. You can imagine the court rocking with laughter and laughter, suddenly silenced by Pharaoh, bursting out in wrath, proudly mocked the divine interpreter. I know not the Lord, neither will I let your people go. But he said, the psalmist, the writer of this commentary said, I think Moses said, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Here's another example. Into the Israeli army camp, one day comes this young shepherd boy. He arrived just in time to hear the Philistine giant Goliath roar out his challenges and blaspheme the Lord God of Israel. Why does somebody fight him? The boy wonders out loud. Go on home, his brothers snap. But he insisted. He insisted he would fight that giant. He was not afraid of him because it was not his battle. It was God's battle. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of things come into your life that seem to be your battle. They're not your battle. They're God's battles. Let him take care of it. Classic example of the great shepherd Jesus. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, whose daughter was dead, he said, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, the Bible said. They did the same thing later as he hung on the tree of Calvary. The proud had me greatly in derision, yet I have not turned from thy law. Our Lord held steadfast to God's law and through his life and on through the valley of death, the triumph on the other side. God's law was the rule of Simon's life, no matter who might deride him. Let people insult him as they would. That is a lesson I wish our young children would listen to and our teenagers learn before they face the sneer and ridicule of the ungodly. The psalmist remembered God is a God of integrity and righteousness, a God who always goes and does what's right. Nothing can change that. The Lord's nature is perfect. I want you to also look at the Lord's Word. The Word of God comforts the psalmist in verse 52. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Have you ever been at night? Things are going on in your brain. How many have things going on in your brain at night? I talked to a gentleman yesterday. I stopped over to see him, and we were just talking about that. Preacher, I got a few questions to ask you. And I said, oh boy, here we go, you know. And he says, when I lay down, he said, and my brain just goes crazy. And I said, guess what, buddy? Everybody I know, their brain goes crazy at night. Boy, I hope I got everything ready for that next lesson tomorrow. That go in your brain? Boy, I hope I got everything ready so I can go out and do this, do that, you know. Huh? Sure, all of us do. That's why they have Advil PM. And that's why they have Sledgehammer. And but anyway, yeah. And you're laying there, and all of a sudden, something comes to your mind. And it just winds that thing up tighter than the spring on your watch. You guys don't even know what a spring on a watch is anyway. But and, you know, deal with it. I think, I'll be honest with you, I have a lot of friends that have this, what they call post-traumatic stress disorder. I think a lot of it is, and please humor me on this, I think a lot of it is that they just won't leave it alone. Just keep thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking about it. Find it. Takes them over. It takes them over. I've done a lot of study on that. Just literally, they do not, you know, God says, hey, be still. And know that I'm God. Dear God, help me be still and know that you're God. Lord, I've got to go to sleep. Lord, I got a big day tomorrow. The other day, dumb me, I went to bed at just before 8 o'clock. I never do that. But I was tired. And so I got to bed. And people forget that every once in a while I go to bed that early. And the phone rang. And before I could answer, she hung up. And about an hour later, she called me up again. And she wasn't the only one. I got phone call after phone, and I got text messages, beep, 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 and I don't want to turn my phone off because what if somebody's in trouble and they need me? What if somebody in my church needs their pastor? I, for years, have always left my phone on. It's right next to my bed. And all of us, and you think I can get to sleep? So I got up at 11 o'clock, and I had from 9, 10, 11. I had 3 hours. Man, I'm ready to go another day. Right, Brother James? Yeah. Fine, I looked, the last time I looked was 1:30. And then Mama thought it was time to get up. So we had to do our little thing back and forth to the ladies' room and get back in. And then she's cold, and I had to go take the blanket and heat it up in the dryer, and that heats it real nice, about 3-4 minutes, and boy, it makes her feet a little nice and warm. And me, you know, yeah. Oh, I got so much to tell you. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. I'm going to give you three things. One, our circumstances change. All of us are getting a little older. Things are changing in our lives. The things that used to bother us don't bother us anymore, but now we got some things that really bother us that ought to bother us. Amen. Our circumstances change. God's word is permanent. Secondly, His testimonies are of old. They have stood the test of time. Laws today are often made under pressure. They are often tentative. They are often reflect a compromise or social, economic, or political bias. Lobbyists are interested in groups and significant influence legislation. And we have hundreds and thousands of law seeking to accomplish what God did on two pieces of rock and only 10 points. If this, what's happening today in America, does not frustrate you, you're a hard-boiled egg. That's some crazy stuff going on out there. He's going to do what? You can't do it. He did it. What do you mean? What do you mean? We need that oil lion. What do you mean they stopped that thing? Oh, man. And then the whole truth comes out. Well, we Americans are a bunch of stupid people. We don't understand what's going on. And so we'll just push this health care through. Well, that was a blessing, eh? What do you think these people are trying to tell you? Well, you can't get any dumber than dumber. Yes, so it's got to happen, folks, before Jesus Christ comes back. And we have a hope that endures. We have a rock that is firm. We have a foundation that has been tested through the time. Stand sure. I write every now and then, I'll write, stay the course, preacher. I talked to a fellow the other day. I said, just stay the course, man. Just stay right at it. Just stay where you're at. Don't go the right or left. Just stay right at it. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. God bless you, folks. Pray that God has His perfect way in our lives. On my word prayer, we have a short business meeting, and we'll get out of here. Lord, help us to trust You in everything. Lord, we love You. We need You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers you.